Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Isn't it amazing? We're getting closer and closer and closer and closer to Jesus stepping back in on the scene. These are exciting days. Let's not fall too in love with the world or the things of it. Brothers and sisters, it's going to all burn in a fervent heat. Can you imagine all the things that we hold dear on this earth that's so important to us? All the stuff. And it's all just going to go up in a fervent heat. And the only thing that really matters is what you and I have done with the relationship that we have with Jesus. What we've done in that, that was spirit-infused, that's what's going to matter. Everything else just burn. God is so good. Man, it's so great that he gives us his word, gives us the intent and the ability by the power of his spirit to walk in his ways and to do things that's pleasing. That's what's significant about where we're at in chapter 12. It's not about you, it's not about me, and getting attention for ourselves. We talked about that in a recent Bible study. If you haven't been keeping up with this, I would encourage you to get back. There's a couple parts that we've covered in introductions and different things to this area of the gifts of the Spirit. It's really important because it's one of the five things that Paul the Apostle says that we ought not to be ignorant of or unaware of or uninformed about. And I still find, I know you are too, many of us, we're still really learning about how the Spirit really wants to move and wants to work in our day to day. How does God want to move in our time in which we are alive now? If in fact, perchance we are in the last days, which I believe we are, and if in fact that's the truth, that this is, we're getting closer and closer and closer to a conclusion in this life, in this world, if that's true, if we're inching closer, then we are some of those who would be the last of those that would be calling out. We're not the first century church. We're not the beginning of it. But man, we might be those that are some of the last ones heralding out the call in this time, the age of the Gentiles in which we live. And what does that look like? I think we've got a generation coming up right now underneath what's happening that is really fairly anti-church. I'm not so sure that they're opposed to Jesus in per se specifically, but they're certainly anti-church. They don't like organized things at all, organized groups. And it's an interesting time in which we live is how do we function as a body then? And I think that part of the key is really understanding the work of the Spirit and how it's motivated by love. We're going to get to that in chapter 13, not today. But next week, I'm hoping to get to that portion of Scripture because everything that we do is to be motivated by that. So that's important because the agape love that's talked about comes from above. God lives within you, and that motivator is done apart from your interests in it. In other words, it's not that you're going to get something out of it. It's not that I'm going to get something out of it. It's that God loves, and God wants to reach out and touch others with his love. And so he wants to display or reveal his body through the working of his Holy Spirit. Let me give you a couple things that I think maybe will help. It helps me to understand kind of the breakdown a little bit, an understanding of kind of a breakdown in the working of the gifting and how it happens, both in discerning and in the more of a dynamic, a power to do something motivated by the Spirit, or those things that are things that would be declaring or those things that would be simply that, declaring, the ability to speak out something. So let's look at it in three areas. I think this will be helpful. These are just for your notes to understand this a little bit more clearly. I think it will be helpful. We find in the gifts specifically listed. Now, the word gifts in your context this morning, remember out of chapter 12, that was an insertion, wasn't it? Remember, it just says spiritual. So that was an insertion. And it's within context. And so it's fine with me if we want to look at that as part of the gifts. But let's look at it specifically, you know, in the use of the words themselves. The place that we find this word gifting or the operations of this, the gifting, the motivational gifts, this specifically is spoken of in Romans chapter 12. So the motivational gifts or the gifts that we see operated in that way are Romans chapter 12. And we'll jump over there and cover some of that while we're in this context at some point, just so that, but not this morning. Operations or energies we find here in this area of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is because we're talking about this as the diversity of gifts, but there's this manifestation, and it's given, one, these gifts are given in order for the benefit of all, and we're going to talk about how that plays out, these energies of the gifts, of how they move. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we find these ministries of the Spirit. We find these specific areas of ministry of the Spirit. This just, for me, was helpful to kind of look at it a little bit more, you know, breaking it out a little bit and just see it doesn't change the fact that it's all the gift and the moving of God's Spirit, but it helps to break it down a little bit. So Ephesians chapter 4, we find the ministries of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here, we're finding kind of that operations of the gifts within the body. And then in Romans chapter 12, we find specifically the motivational gifts. So three areas now within the gifts is we find the discerning gifts, which are those that are the ability to know or understand things supernaturally that we wouldn't know otherwise. And what are those things? We talked about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits are those three. So, discerning gifts, the ability to know within the realm of the Spirit things that you and I would not know apart from God giving us insight to that. That's the working of His Spirit within you and within me. As a member of the body of Christ, God can use you in different situations. I had three or more that I was clearly clear on, things that this transpired after going over this last week. I had three or more events separately. I was just praying, ask the Lord, help me to pay attention to what's going on. I had three or more events that happened where there is a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. And even then, more of another aspect of it, of the dynamic operations or this ability, the power to do something that you wouldn't naturally, it's outside of the natural realm. The ability or the power to do something outside of the natural realm, that's another category, or the dynamic of the operations of the Spirit. And we see this with faith, healings, and miracles. The ability to believe and to move forward by faith, to do that, to step out like that, to do those things is an awesome expression of God's power and the ability to do something that you wouldn't normally do or be able to do. And the next area was the declaring or the ability to speak under the power and authority of the Spirit in ways that you would not otherwise, and that was prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. That's kind of how this breaks out at this point. And for me, it was just really helpful to look at it kind of in that light. It was very helpful because sometimes it all gets muddled up. And when would this happen? And how would that happen? And what would this look like if that transpired? So that's why last week when we went through it, we kind of went through, well, we saw some things like this, tried to take some scriptural examples of, oh, that looks like this. And the word of wisdom, for example, was wonderful, wasn't it? The word of wisdom and how the word of wisdom works, it has a settling effect in a matter or a situation that you're dealing with. It kind of just settles things out. It's got this wonderful calming, settling, putting things together. I really like that. I really like the way that fit into our study. Well, let's pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 12. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, differing kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I guess when we started with this idea of people looking on, and we have a generation coming up that's, you know, somewhat repels anything that's organized as far as religion or Christianity in particular is what I want to talk about because I'm not religious. But the idea of that is very interesting to me, and I'm wondering if the church in general, and I'm just going to say that in general, if it's not possible that maybe we lose touch as Christians with what's really going on around all of us, what's happening around us. And the fact that so many are detached in our world around us from anything that has to do with God. And then what about those who believe they're connected, but they're only connected through a religious concept? Through their own means of works and efforts, they're going to make themselves right with God. And we know that's fallacy. That can't happen. We know it's only through the cross, through forgiveness. And we see the plight of our world around us, the situations around us. And I wonder as the body, if we look at this, if we're stirred or how we're going to proceed. And I believe we desperately need the power of the Spirit, and we need the Spirit moving through the body to connect with and to impact our world, to infect our world, as it were, to infiltrate our world with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, the fact that people would leave the planet without the Lord really, really just freaks me out. I mean, really bad, because it's final. But I don't think we like living in the world of finality. We don't like thinking that way. But the truth is, that's what the Bible says, that if you leave the planet without Jesus, it's done. So this thing that we live in called life, it's space and time here, is very significant. It's very important what our conclusions are about who Jesus is and who God is. And it doesn't matter how much I love somebody, how much you love somebody. It doesn't matter how sweet a person they are, how lovely a person they are. It doesn't matter how base they are or how, you know, intelligent they are. It doesn't matter how much they have or how much they don't have. None of those things matter when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ. It's either you know him or you don't know him. There's not going to be a gray matter in that. Everybody, we want to live in grayness because gray is better. A lot of room in gray, you know? But there are things, and I like that, but there's things that are black and white. And when you get to it with Jesus, Jesus was very clear. I remember going through, and we went through Joshua, and Joshua was very clear. I like that. Choose ye this day who you will serve. I like that. Our world doesn't like that, but as Christians, we should like that. That's a prompting motivator, a thing to work through and think on. Is that what I'm choosing today? Now, I want to choose each day when I wake up that God, fill me with your Spirit and move through me, even supernaturally, whether I know it or don't know it. A lot of times you and I aren't going to know those things. Let's look at this working of miracles and how it plays out. I really believe it's definitely tied or connected with, and we'll see areas that this takes place, this working of miracles. I don't know that it's just something you decide we want to work some miracles and throw them around the room or something like we see on TV sometimes. I don't know that it really goes that way. I'm not so captured by that. I don't really see that in Scripture. I see the working of miracles in Scripture very connected to reaching out and connecting with the world around us, evangelism. I see those gifts operating very openly within evangelism. Why do I say it? Because I don't see that the working of miracles, that building up in Scripture, the church itself, or God's people. Case in point, go back to Exodus, go back to Numbers. We watch all the miraculous things that transpired, and they still had a massive lack of faith. It's just the truth. They still lacked greatly. So is it miracles that you see that build up your faith? The Bible doesn't really declare that, nor do we see examples of that happening. But when we read through, and we're going to read through a couple little snippets of Scripture where we see the working of miracles was certainly a testimony as people were sharing their faith, that somehow, subsequently, behind the scenes, God was just doing the miraculous. What about the times when you're not really, before you came to Jesus, you weren't walking with God, and you had these situations, these odd nuances of life that took place, these little things that happened that all were pointing to God, and only you knew it. Only you knew those things that were happening. Those events, those circumstances, those people that were talking to you, they're speaking exactly to your heart what you need to hear. And that's God knocking at the door, isn't it? That's the supernatural, miraculous taking place in a very natural way. But it's miraculous. Salvation itself is very, very miraculous. The fact that you and I could surrender our lives, humble ourselves, give ourselves to Jesus, and begin a new life in Him is a miraculous thing, a powerful truth. Evangelism, I really believe, is very tied to the working of miracles. Mark, his account in chapter 16, verse 14, it picks it up, and this is leading into his statement regarding the Great Commission. Mark says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11, as they, in verse 14 of chapter 16 of Mark's gospel. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11. They sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Read verse 17 along with me now. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This miraculous things will take place as they are out in the mission field, as they are out connecting with, through evangelism, trying to reach the lost world around us. I like that because I see that playing out in Scripture. Throughout the book of Acts, we just don't have time to go over all these scriptures, but throughout the book of Acts, you will see that happening over and over and over again. The miraculous was done as a testimony to the non-believer that they would see God at work and turn to God. Now, does it always happen that way? I don't think so. It just doesn't always happen that way. But your faith and my faith, the Bible says in Romans, Paul says this very clearly, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith, my faith, our faith is built up as we hear the word, as we're stirred by the word, because it connects with the spiritual man within us, or woman is fine. It connects with the spiritual person inside of us. So I really see this working of miracles as we see it, as it is revealed through Scripture as the miraculous thing that takes place that's pulling people into a personal relationship with the Lord, as it's displayed, as people are proclaiming. And I think that can happen to you and me. We don't have to go to the other side of the world. We don't have to travel over Europe to do that. We don't have to go into Iraq or anywhere else. We can just be right here. We've got plenty of work to do around us in sharing the simple truth of Jesus Christ. And as you do, expect God to show up in wonderful, miraculous ways. And you know, when people say, oh, you know, that's really interesting, you know, and some, they share something that happened with them, you can point them to that. That's the Lord trying to express himself to you, reveal himself to you. Now, as we get to this next one, prophecy, so that gives you an idea, a little bit of working of miracles or the perspective that we have on that from Scripture. I believe that God does the miraculous. I absolutely believe that. But I don't think it's like we need to have specific services for the body to have the miraculous take place. I believe God is at work in a miraculous way all around us if we would just open our eyes and see that. And as we get out on the front lines of doing things, we'll start watching God move and do more and more things. This whole idea of snip, snap, throw it around the room, it's crazy to me, you know? Do you really believe that one person is entrusted with that kind of power and control? I believe as we get to the close of this one little portion, it says that it's distributed as he wills. And again, remember, this is given out in a situation where this is familiar to this group that's hearing this. They've watched the miraculous regularly. They see God at work in all of these areas. They lacked no good gift at all. Paul was very clear that they're blessed beyond belief that way. Prophecy, telling forth of God's message in a particular situation. Prophecy. A lot of times we just get hung up on prophecy, that prophecy's only this way out at a distant thing. But it's not just that. I understand that's part of the term of prophecy, that it's something that is way out in the future and it's end times and it's our eschatological viewpoints, you know, as far as the end of the world and so on. But it's not just that. It's the telling forth of God's message in a particular situation. And it's always spoken in accord with God's word and in conjunction with the working of what he's doing at that point in time. In Acts chapter 21, Acts 21, verse 10, we can look at a situation that kind of gives us an insight to that. And we stayed many days. A certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, Paul the Apostle's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So, he is telling forth something in the Spirit that is to transpire, not a big distant thing out there, but it gives you an example of something that would be the telling forth or the expression of the heart and intent of God in a situation, specific situation or matter. Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life, and it starts, really, by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God, and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, you know, the Word says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that he's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer. just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that you would pardon me. I thank you so much for that grace and mercy that you've shown me. Lord, thank you for the love that put you on the cross, that you did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to you. I receive you as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for that free gift of everlasting life that you've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.